Let's take our Bibles this morning and we're going to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just got a couple of verses I'd like to read as we begin our message this morning on Mother's Day. The message is entitled Night and Day. And I'm going to invite you to join me as we read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 5 through 9. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Here's our big idea this morning. My ministry is defined more by what I put in than what I take away. Would you join me in prayer now as we ask the Lord to bless our time in His Word? Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning and we lift up your name. And we thank you so much for the day that we set aside every year to do something that we should do every day. Sometimes we neglect it, but I hope that today we will not neglect the work that we do as children to honor mother. I know, Lord, not everybody here would be able to honor their mother by being in her presence. For some of our mothers have gone home to glory. I pray, Father, though, that in this day, that the sweetness, that the happy times, that the good, positive examples that live on in our lives, we wouldn't just sit on them, but we'd share them. Lord, our mothers are an example to us of what it means to serve with a heart of selflessness. And for that, Lord, we say thank you for our mothers. And Lord, we say thank you for Jesus, who teaches us, who gave his life that we might live. May today we enjoy that life on this day set aside for our mothers. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day. Today is something that we've been working on this moment all week long. We started several weeks ago, but it all came together, and hopefully by the end of the message that you will have something to take away from here that will be certainly special and encouraging, that will lift up your heart. And I want to tell you a little bit about the history of Mother's Day. You may not be familiar, so I'll tell you why it is that we do this thing that we do. Believe it or not, it was a mother and a daughter that we thank for our national observance of Mother's Day. Ann Jarvis, in the Civil War, served as a nurse who would minister and care to soldiers up in West Virginia, actually what would be known as West Virginia. And she spent her heart and her time raising her family, as well as taking care of soldiers injured on the battlefield. She believed it was so important in order for her to do her part and help try to bring some reconciliation. You know, the Civil War was a time when our nation was divided between, well, family members. And Miss Ann Jarvis wanted to do something that would help start the healing process. It would help bring families together. So she did something that you're probably not going to do today. Ann Jarvis wanted to organize in the month of June a meeting for mothers to come to learn how to take care of dressing wounds, what she knew about, how to take care of nurturing and tending to the sick, and how to be cautious and how to be aware of proper sanitation. So today, when you go to see your mother, wash your hands for the sake of Ann Jarvis. It was Ann Jarvis's daughter, Anna, however, that petitioned for there to be someone to remember. Well, it was just the example of her mother. She petitioned all the way up to the president that there would be a day set aside for mothers. And she wanted the day to be something special. She wished that she could share the appreciation, that she could say something to her mother, that she could just wanted to make sure that there was a day that we just come clean about what we're grateful for, that we will be able to share our thoughts. It was greeting cards that really kicked off this holiday. You see here pictured on one side of the screen is a picture of carnations. That was technically the Mother's Day flower that was established early back in tradition for a reason. But the day was, according to Anna Jarvis, should be a day where we write Mom a letter. Have you ever written your mother a letter on Mother's Day? Maybe a greeting card. That's easy. That's something that we usually get. And maybe flowers. That's always something that we can bring and give to Mother. But what was the purpose behind the carnation? The carnation is to represent purity and the faithfulness of Mother, her selflessness in serving, her enduring love, all signified in a flower. I want to ask you, is the object as dear as Mom could be? Is there ever been a carnation that could perfectly say Mother, that you would think that that would be the appropriate, perfect gift to give Mother? I think the sentiment behind it and the motivation behind it, it's interesting that Anna Jarvis didn't like the idea of greeting cards because she felt like children should make the extra special effort. And yet, it was the money that came in from greeting cards that took care of her late in her life. And she died penniless. But she leaves with us a great lasting contribution where we remember our mothers today. It's a day where we should show gratitude to our mother. What I'm going to call for services rendered. Can you quantify your mom? Some of you have done so today by being with her here in the room. And I thank you for being here. I know that mothers are more than what mothers provide. I know moms have been busy raising us, teaching us her ways, our family ways, and our family traditions. I know Mom has done a great job of when we were young, feeding us. Well, even when we're old, Mom feeds us. Anybody long for Mom's cooking this morning?
Amen.
And yes, I know Brother Clifton, but however, I realize the injustice for every mother who has to cook on Mother's Day. That the children look to Mom to feed her. But you know, a mother's job never stops. And so today, this day of gratitude, is a day that I say for services rendered. The ways that Mom shows us how much she loves us. And it's the mother's example that I want to focus on. And there's a passage that we've looked at just a moment ago that I'd like to break down and look at a mother's example that sets for us the way that we should conduct our lives, the way that you and I as Christians live out our lives and live out our faith, all provided and defined and wrapped up in Mother's example that she set for us. I know that word mother can sometimes be challenging because not everybody maybe had a saint of a mother. I had a wonderful mother. I still have a wonderful mother. And I know that today can sometimes be a difficult day because of the heaviness of mother not being here or not being able to be with mother. But I'm going to ask you to think about, to draw on your mother's example as we look at the scriptures. Not to interpret the scriptures from your mother's example. But we're going to look at some positive aspects for what your mother provided for you. And I want to ask you this question. How much love do you give when you grow up? That's the hard part of coming to terms with growing up and maturing. How much love do I give? That's a question that is helping me quantify how involved I should be. But it's also a question of examination. How do I measure up to the example that my mother set for me? How do I measure up in my example that I set for others? How much is needed that a mother sacrifices? How much of her time, how much of her energy, how much of her resources does she hold back in providing for our growth? We've got some babies here this morning. It's wonderful to see the little babies in here. And if the babies should cry out, I think that's praises. Let them cry. I'll bring the microphone back to them. They probably have something greater to say. But as we grow up, it astounds me how God can take something like a little baby that comes to this world not knowing any words, but the baby grows up. And yes, sometimes we follow in our mother's and our father's footsteps, but where God takes the child, that's so exciting to look at a life of possibilities. To think about how quickly children develop and begin to start speaking and walking and they're able to take care of themselves. It is funny, Brother Clifton, when your grandsons come with you before church on Wednesday night and they are in here and they have such an independent spirit. And they'll come into my office before the service and they'll want to grab a piece of candy from a candy dish that I have. And the youngest one, Asher, will hand me the candy and say, open it. He'll sometimes get me to open it, and I realize, well, you took it, buddy. It's your treat. Why don't you? I'm doing something here. No. I stop what I'm doing, and I open it. It just melts my heart to be able to see it. But to see how fast he's developed and how fast he's grown. But God has a plan for every one of us. As Christians, that we start out, yes, like little babes in the faith, but we grow up and we become deep, strong Christians. We should have a maturing process. And by design, the way our bodies work, we do grow from infancy up to adulthood. We grow from immaturity to maturity. And God didn't just put us here on this planet that we all just stay simple little children, but that we grow up and we serve Him with our whole heart. But mothers, how much do moms put into their day-to-day ministry for their families? And the example that they set, the problem with mothers is I know that there's not a mother training school. I know Ann Jarvis didn't set a meeting that you could make to where you could learn to provide proper sanitation for your family. So a lot of mothers learn on the go. And I think that's amazing to watch how mothers start out with their first children. It's all bubble wrap. Make sure that the pacifier, if it should fall on the ground, that you pick it up and you boil it in water so that it's not contaminated. And by the third or fourth child, if the pacifier falls on the ground, the mother will just say, pick that up and put that back in your mouth. I mean, it's crazy how mothers experience grace and start to share on the go what they've learned, that, hey, maybe my child won't die if I don't clean that up. But you know what? Thank you, mothers, for washing off my pacifier whenever I was a baby. I know now, anytime something falls on the floor, I don't pick it up and I don't put it in my mouth, even if there is a five-second rule. Mothers learn on the go. Mothers also learn by experience. The experience that comes just the doing, the day-to-day work of being a mother, but also the experience drawing on upon what they saw, how they were raised. It's amazing when I think back how quickly and how rapidly the world changed today versus when I was a child. And I know that seems like a long time ago, but the way the world changed when you were a child, how quickly things have changed in our culture. We don't have the same values, and yet the family will always be important. The family structure that God has provided with a mother and a father, by His design, that children are raised up in a nurturing and loving home. And I will tell you, for all that mother gathers on the go and from the experience, the biggest sacrifice that mom makes is the choice that she has in taking care of her family. So this morning, I see two avenues of what that looks like. We learn by example, and we also lead by our experience. And I'm using the Mother's Day backdrop as a metaphor for how we as believers do likewise. If you had a godly mother when you were growing up who drug you to church, praise the Lord for that. May you learn from the example that was set before you, and may you likewise lead by the experience of your mother. But may you also learn as you stay committed day by day. And I want to remind you that when we talk about serving Jesus, that you have a choice in ministry. And you have a choice as to how much of your time, how much of your resources, how much of your heart you put into what you do for Jesus each and every day. So I want to look at a passage that's going to show us how we can learn by Paul's example that he set for us. First off, I notice this, that given a choice, would you take the easy path? Is there a one of us that would sign up for all of the things that mothers do? I remember as a child, whenever I would be sick, it was always Mom that went to clean up the mess. Dad might get up in the night to check on me, but it would be Mother that would clean up the mess that I made. And by the mess that I made, you use your imagination on that. How much commitment. And I tell you, down at the daycare, when the ladies who work down there daily just taking care of children, I think to myself, when I go in the building and there's just an aroma that comes at certain times of the day that comes from the younger classrooms, as I walk in the building, I just start to brace up because it's a strong smell. And I know that we do not pay our teachers enough for the hazards that they have to handle each and every day. I'm not cut out for that. And I thank God that I was not called to that. But given a choice, would you take the easy path? Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Paul writes, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." Now, that word contention that he uses there sets the tone for what he was up against at that church. If it were easy, there would not have been any boldness needed to stay engaged to preach the gospel. And yet, Paul, in his ministry and helping people, met people who were working against him when he was trying to do the good work of sharing the good news. It was not easy. And if it was not easy, then there wouldn't be the boldness that was required by him to set the example. He says in verse 3, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." And I want to remind you that Paul saw this. What's needed in our ministry as we establish how much of ourselves we're going to pour into what we do every day. We need this clarity. Define the reason you serve the one who sees your heart. Now I'll tell you, as a child, and I think about my mother, and you do the same. Think about your mother. Do you remember when she put her heart into what she did? Do you remember when she would have to take care of you when she wasn't feeling well? Do you remember all of the hard work that she put into helping raise you and train you and prepare you and get ready for school? All of the personal sacrifices that mothers made. I tell you, I wish, I said this a few weeks ago, I wish I could go back to the day when someone else cleaned up. I know, I've got a wife, and I don't want to get into trouble by making you think that I live in a messy house. I'm just saying that it was easy when someone else did the work for me that I have to do now. And I wish that I didn't have to do the work that I needed to do, because sometimes it's inconvenient. And if I don't do it, well, it just shows you what I value. You see, people look at what you and I do. People see us on the outside. But there's one who sees inside of our heart that Paul references. And oftentimes it's easy to be someone who serves as what Paul calls a men pleaser when you and I just do the thing that's going to get the optics where people say, hey, that guy, he's committed. That lady right there, she's engaged and she loves the Lord. And we do it for people's approval or people's attention. All the while, there is the one who truly sees our heart and knows our heart, who knows the intensity of our relationship with him. Paul defines his ministry as about seeking, and is defined by having been approved by God himself. You see, that's who we ultimately serve when we are serving in ministry. The day-to-day actions that you and I do in Jesus' name. It could be something as simple as giving a cup of cold water to someone who's thirsty. It could be as grand as sharing a word of testimony of what Jesus did in your life. It could be as great as praying for someone who is hurting and someone who needs prayer. It could be as difficult or standing by someone who's on a journey from this life to the next. Providing care, providing comfort, providing friendship. You see, what's in the heart is revealed by our sacred consistency in each and every day. Now, you and I can fake our way until we make it. You and I can pretend and fool one another. But what's inside the heart is demonstrated by what I call the sacred consistency, that where you and I remain committed to faithfulness in Christ. Something that's broken my heart. There's been news over the last several months that's been coming out. It's not anything new. When you put your eyes on men, and there's preachers that have stumbled and fallen in ministry, there are people in ministry that were leading double lives and doing terrible, terrible, wicked things privately, but publicly they were fake in their approach and their sacred consistency, that what they were saying on the platform was not matching up what they were doing in their daily lives. It's discouraging when you hear if somebody does that. Doesn't mean that it gives us license. It means it's a reminder to us that what's inside of our heart comes out in what we do. And the sacred consistency, that's where you and I remain committed and faithful to the one who sees our heart, God, our Savior Jesus. So number two, given an opportunity, would you claim the privilege? Look what Paul writes in verse 5. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Paul's describing the conditions and the circumstance when he came. You know, Paul in his itinerant ministry, he would go and visit the churches that he had helped establish. He would go and help set straight errors that had crept into the church. And when he would arrive, you know, you would think that Paul would be taken care of by the church. That seems only right, that he's going to look after them and they would take care of him. But Paul's going to define his ministry not by how much the church provides for him, but by his sacrifice. And he's not doing this because he's feigning. He wants people to think that he is so devout and just make you feel cruddy and crummy. No. I know that sometimes when we're in the gospel message and the gospel presentation, when we're hearing from the scriptures, that we feel really crummy, we feel really guilty because we're not measuring up to that standard. That's okay to feel guilty, but it'd be terrible to leave here with that guilt. When you can come and deal with it, give it over to the Lord, you can sacrifice that obstacle that's holding you back. Determine your motivation for Jesus. It is what Paul's going to describe it to the two ways that I see it. It's either by enrichment, my enrichment, or my burden that I place on the people that I'm serving. It's defined by how much I put in. What am I putting in versus what am I taking out? And Paul's making it clear here to this church that his ministry was not one of burden, that he was not looking for them to take care of him. I think this is where I think I see a connection here with mothers. Paul was coming to minister and not to be ministered unto. Now, I know it goes against everything the spirit of Mother's Day, because Mother's Day is the day where we take Mother out to our favorite restaurant and we get something that we want, and Mother's there in our presence if we can do it. At least that's what it's broken down to. Maybe you're providing a meal for Mother. And, you know, I think about the way that works. We have a lot of what we like in the gift that we give. Because, I mean, growing up at home, you know, when Mom would have to cook a wonderful Mother's Day meal. And, you know, with Mother's Day, it's okay to have dessert. So Mother would make a cake. We always made out like bandits on Mother's Day because Mom put so much effort, so much work into the Mother's Day meal. And I remember when we tried to help take care of mothers. I remember as a kid trying to make Mom breakfast in bed and bringing it to her. and I would force it upon her. She would be asleep, and I would just come in with a tray with toast and water, and I would set the water table, the tray right beside her bed. I'd say, "Mom, happy Mother's Day," or, "Mom, here, this is for you." And I'd wake her up, and she would taste that delicious toast that I had burnt or I had over-buttered, and I felt good about what I had done. And Paul reveals his heart of sacrifice, that he is pouring, and it's going to be revealed by how he did it, that he poured his life into this church, and that he didn't come with seeing what he could get out of it. The third point I see is that even when inconvenient for me, do I cherish the ones that I serve? Now, verse 7, I see the clearest connection with Mother's Day. Not that I'm forcing the reading, but it's an example that Paul uses of mothers in verse 7. "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." And that word there is for a nursing mother, the mother who takes care of the baby. And I will tell you, and I don't want to get into biology this morning, but a mother with her infant provides a lot more than the father provides is by way of nourishment. I know that there's formula that we feed babies now, but there is a real commitment and a real investment that mothers have to take care of. And it's not on your schedule, moms. I know that. That it could be every 2 hours. Am I getting it right? Melina and I weren't able to have children, so it wasn't a schedule that I got to worry about. I had the benefit of being an uncle, where the children would come over when mom and dad would entrust them to me, and I get to see them for a little bit, and I could send them home. I love that. But the gentle mother, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." This nurturing mother that Paul is going to describe is my example in ministry. How I handle one another, how I handle people, how I handle even my own self and my own feelings and my commitment. You know, this morning, you do not have to be a mother to take something away from the message. It is the nurturing of mother that Paul describes for us, how it is that you and I approach ministry, the way he approached ministry. He says in verse 8, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us." There it is. My ministry is defined by what I do and how much I put in. Paul's ministry to this church, not wanting to be a burden, but he understands he's working with spiritual babies at this stage of the church. And yeah, as Christians, we grow in different stages. It's possible to be here this morning and to have been a follower of Jesus for 50, 60 years and still be infant in your faith. You may be here and just be a few years old in your faith and have a great, great faith. It's amazing how the Lord grows and works in our hearts. It's not so much of a statement about what he does, but our commitment to the engagement. How involved am I, or how have I done with what God has given me? My ministry is defined by what I do and how much I put in. So you can wear the moniker of mother, but I think the word mother is a very sacred word that has behind it the weight of every woman who's brought a man-child into this world, if I can use that old-fashioned word. For every mother that has raised children. And I tell you, there's no discount here for what the role that father plays in that relationship. It takes both the mother and the father to train up the child. There's a lot that the father has to do. But mother, today, is our emphasis. And I can tell you that mothers do a lot more than we take for granted. They do a lot more than what we see. It's tireless. It's tiresome, but it's never burdensome to a mother. I've never seen, or never experienced, I should say, not to say that my experience is the baseline or the judgment. It's just in my observation, I've never seen a mother who, given the choice, wouldn't lay down her life to protect her child, her baby. There's that nurturing connection. I know as we grow older, it gets a lot easier. But I think today, I think it's true that mothers, even though she raises from a little child up to a grown person or whatever age you may be, that a mother's job has never stopped and mothers never stopped taking care of you. I think the relationship has changed. There's distance between it. But given the choice, mother's not going to stop being mother. The results that I see in my ministry, and this is the hard part, because I know that you and I will take on a project, we'll take on a task, and we'll look and we'll try to evaluate how well we're doing. What's the outcome? And I know that parenting is difficult. It is a difficult journey because not every child turns out the way that you would hope that a child would turn out. Not every child is grateful or appreciative or is honoring to mother and father. And so, as a parent who's committed to raising their child in the faith, to bringing their child and dragging their child to church, I say to you, trust God to give the increase. You do your part, and God will be faithful on His end. But if you do not do your part, don't expect God to give the increase if you yourself have shirked your responsibility. As I last see this last point, my heart understands that I do not set my schedule for serving. Verse 9, Paul writes, "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God." Paul, by trade, was a tent maker. And when Paul went and served, Paul worked a full-time job building tents so that he wouldn't be a burden on the ministries that he was going to. Now, he probably had the license, and not every church neglected taking care of him. There was always some effort, but Paul didn't do it for the pay. Paul didn't do it for what he was going to get or for his self-enrichment. He carried his own weight while he was serving this church. And he describes the timeline. He says he labored night and day. And he's doing it night and day. Not that there was just business hours, punch in the morning, punch in the evening, go home and enjoy yourself. Paul's ministry, and he knew that the ministry was going to involve a whole lot more than just standard business hours. You know, Mom, you don't ever get time off. You don't ever get time away. Maybe when you send the grandparents, that's when you get a little bit of a break. But then you're probably worried about what's going on. I see moms called upon night and day to train their children. It's interesting the way he turns that phrase, day and night. You and I would think that daytime would be easy, nighttime is hard. You know, the daytime when you're awake and you're alert and you're taking care of your household and you're living your life during the daylight hours, the night hours are when we sleep. There shouldn't be any growing. Everybody should just go to bed. And I know for every new mother that I've talked to, it rejoices that night that the baby starts to sleep 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. And I say, moms, don't give up. There's coming a time where your child will sleep 12 hours. They may be in adolescence, and they may stay up until 3 in the morning and wake up at 3 in the afternoon the next day, but that day is coming. Hang in there. Paul labors night and day. He does so for the health of the body. That's this church he's referring to. He knows the investment takes all hours service. He's doing so for the sake of the gospel. And his commitment to Jesus Christ isn't something that conveniently fits into a daytime schedule, but rather it's an on-the-clock, all-of-the-time ministry for the God that he serves who knows his heart. And whenever I think about the results that we look for, I may not see growth, but I must provide the care. Which is how our service ends now with an object lesson and a test for you. How to learn to love like Mama. From what I see here with Paul's ministry and his example to us, what mothers have shown us and mothers continue to show to us. I want to do an object lesson here that I'm going to give you a chance to get involved in. And I've got here some pots. And I'm going to show you what I did. This pot right here, I was bringing it in to get ready for today, and I dropped it and I broke it. Mothers, do not ask me to hold your child today. It's not a good day. I did this. It's cracked. It's held together with the sales sticker that's on the pot that's holding it together. But I broke this, and I own this. I messed it up. This other pot here, whenever I picked it up, we were working on today, and Brother Clifton pointed out. He says, "You know, there's a crack here in this pot. It goes mostly through the pot. I see it on the outside, but I don't see it on the inside. Would you want to take home a pot that was cracked? Would you like to have a pot that was cracked?" And I don't want you to think this is a crack pot service, but as I've got this pot here, it has a crack in it, and I said, "You know what? I can't utilize that because of liability and lawsuits." No, I think about the picture that I wanted to say is I wanted to do everything that we could to help give you the best possible chance. And so what we have is I've got a flower here. It has been watered and it has been planted up by several of us men in the church. Mother, we've got a special gift for you. It's a potted plant. And I know there is probably nothing more loathsome than a potted plant, because that means you've got yet another thing to take care of. And I want to tell you that this is an annual that's potted in this plant. It requires just a few things. It requires water. If I should forget anything, let me know. It requires sunlight. It will require nurturing and attention. I think if you put those three things in here, does it guarantee that this plant survives? I'll tell you what, if you don't give it water, if you don't give it sunlight, if you don't invest in it, it's not going to amount to much for much longer. And so with this pot here, I give you a gift today. Actually, not just for our mothers, but for everyone in attendance. Mothers, I give this to you to say thank you for the investment that you put into our lives. All of the hard work and all of the investment that it took to get us to this place. Caleb Fox, I apologize that you're going to get a potted plant. But Caleb works for a nursery, and I think about the work that he knows is going to take care of and involved in this. But for everyone else, I'm going to invite you to take up this challenge to see how much it takes to nurture and to care for this little potted plant. Not this one. This is mine. Outside of our service, we've got a table of plants that you're welcome to pick whichever one you like. There's an assortment of flowers out there. Thank you to the men who helped pot them and plant them. And I want to tell you that in taking care of even just a little potted plant, it's not easy. I anticipate, we were talking about where we should put the plants. We were going to have them set up here, but I thought, you know what? Someone drops it, I've got to clean up the mess. Someone drops a pot and breaks it in the church, I've got to take care of it. Let's put it outside in case the pot gets broken. I think the pots have been examined, that there's no cracked pots. The last time I touched them, I know they were just moved over here. I can't guarantee. So look at your pot. Make sure that you're off to a good start, that you take a whole healthy plant. And I use the word healthy with an asterisk because I've been taking care of it for the last few days. Now it's your toll. I want to remind you that in being a mother and being a follower of Jesus, there's no easy path. If it were easy, well, it would be no sacrifice. If it were easy, it wouldn't require as much heart commitment as it does. And I ask you today to draw upon your example of your mother. I ask you to draw upon the example of Paul. But greater than that, I ask you to draw upon the example that Jesus sets for you. He was willing to go to the cross of Calvary. He laid down his life for you to purchase your redemption, my redemption. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. He was gracious enough to do something that I know that I could never, ever do. And there is no easy path in ministry. And there's no time privilege connected with it. Well, it's not convenient for me. The work of serving Jesus, of living for Jesus, of raising your family, it's a night and day calling. And it requires nothing but love, as though love is is something that you can cast away. I think the level of commitment we see demonstrated by Paul's ministry, the level of commitment that you have shown to you by your mother, I think that's a hard bar to hit and a hard standard to hit. But you remember who you're doing it for, not because you want the approval of people, not because you want to be popular, but because there's a God who sees your heart and who knows what's in your heart. And that means that my ministry then is not on my terms, but on God's terms, His way. That I don't break down and say, you know what, I can't do it today. I just need some me time. That the work is calling me. And I do so for my Savior's sake. Remember, you set the example. You set the example that was shown to you. If you had a bad example, set the right example. If you had a right example, thank the Lord for that right example. And be a godly mother. Be a godly Christian. The example that you set is an example that another generation sees and takes away. Mothers, thank you so much for being here today. I want to remind you that our big idea this morning is this. My ministry is defined more by what I put in than what I take away. So serve the one who knows your heart with purpose. I invite you as we leave here. We're going to have a time of prayer. And I ask you to seriously take one of the pots away, because if you don't take care of it, I'm going to have to take care of it. I think that this pot is just a little metaphor and a little bit of reminder of that a mother's job is never done, that a Savior's love is always overwhelming and gracious. So serve the one who knows your heart and serve Him with purpose. May this be our prayer. Lord, give me the grace to right the wrongs that I could easily